Hello, ladies and gents. It's Tucker, and you are about to listen to the Tuckered Out podcast, sponsored by Queen City Grounds and Sonus Wave. So sit back, relax. If you are on a long drive, look at the road, seriously, but listen. If you are in a coffee shop, good, because that's actually where I am right now. But I hope you guys enjoy this episode, and I hope you guys have a wonderful day.
All right, y'all. We are back with another Tuckered Out. What's up? We have Tamane Robbins here. What's up, bro?
What's going on?
What's up? Bro? Man, okay. So I'm going to give a little intro because I love my intros. Yep. Every time I do a podcast, I want to make sure we know who we're talking to. I'm excited to talk to you, not only to you, but just like about what you are about and all the stuff you got when it comes to your craft. So first off, you got 14K followers on Instagram. You are a very, very known Charlotte artist. You are a 5-time freestyle rapper on K, what is it, 107?
975.
Yeah, you got that. You have new albums out. You have two that I like the most, you know, Fashionably Late, and then remind me of the newest one.
Oh, What If It All Works Out.
Man, What If It All Works Out. My favorite song is Why, by the way. Get into that. But we got Tamane Robbins, man. We got an amazing rapper here. How you doing?
Hey, bro, I'm doing great. A pleasure to be here.
I'm so happy you're here, man.
Thank you.
And another great thing that I just want to mention is, like, Sonorous Wave actually powers this podcast, and you know Sonorous Wave very well. You know Salif very well.
Guy.
Right when you saw Marsha today, you gave her a big hug. Yeah. Like, I just love that. I love that, and I'm just so happy. I remember, just to give you a little backstory about how I found out about you. So Sonorous Wave would host these amazing events here called Live Music Monday, and you know, you would come to some of these, and man, I remember the one that you specifically did where I was here. I believe Marsha was there too. You performed, but I'm gonna be honest, I feel like people knew you were coming because it was pretty like packed before you came, and then you came, and I don't know if you had an entourage with you, but it had to be an extra like 40 to 50 people come into the joint when you started performing. I don't know if you remember that. Personally, I remember it because I was like, I don't know who this is yet. And then you obviously performed, and I was like, oh, okay, I get it now. But like, I thought that was awesome. So that was kind of my intro to you.
Yeah.
Like, but I want to get to you. I want to start with one thing. I asked you to give me some information before we even started the podcast. And one thing you said that I thought was awesome was that you started rapping when you were 4.
Yep.
What does that mean? Like, when someone says that, talk to me about just when you say 4.
Yeah. So it's funny because I know I started rapping at 4.
Okay.
Because I have old notebooks from when I was 7 years old. And
really?
I was saying I was rapping since I was 4.
Oh.
And so when I was 4, my uncle actually penned my first rhyme, right? And it went, it was like, you can catch me in a Mercedes with the top drop. You know Lil T, he always rhyme hot. When I grow up, I want to be just like my pops.
This is a 7-year-old saying this?
Yeah, this is a 4-year-old saying this.
Oh, my gosh.
So
okay.
This is a 4-year-old saying this. And my parents had me young. So my dad was 18 when I was born. My mom was 19. And they were kids themselves. And so my dad was listening to what was hot. Like, so Jay-Z growing up is all I heard. 50 Cent, Master P, Nas, DMX, right?
Yeah.
And so I always heard these things on the radio. I heard these things in the car when my dad was listening to music. And I wanted to be like that. I was like, man, how can I make music like that? And so I would mimic and copy the music I heard and make my own songs out of it until I started crafting and curating my own type of music.
Well, and that was that. So that was at 7 years old, maybe even 4 years old, when like that started to actually become a thought. Like, I actually want to make this music.
Yeah, when
like
I was
that early.
Yeah, so I started being interested at 4, and like my earliest memory of wanting to do music is 7.
Oh shit!
Yeah. So 7 is when it was. It was the.
Can I just say, Marsha, you about, so 7 years old making music. You know when my first memory of making music was 23. 23, exactly. That's messed up how late that hit me. Golly. That's cool, man. Gosh, 7 years old. I want to keep going because one thing that so I took a deep dive into your Instagram because I always like just kind of going to just, you know, like what people post, what specific videos, reels, photos are on Instagram.
Yeah.
One thing, and I want to make sure I get this right because I really, really liked this first video that I saw. One thing that I saw was this video called Keep Going. And I know you are. I can already see a smile, like right. So, it kind of like you do a voiceover on it. And by the way, so we'll have like little things pop up right here that will kind of show what I'm talking about. So okay,
that's cool.
Right now, a video of Keep Going is about to pop for a few seconds. One thing that I love about this video is it really does take, like, it takes moments from, like, high school, I think even maybe middle school, mm-hmm. all the way up until where you were at the end of that video in 2023, I believe, maybe. Or maybe
22.
Even...
Could be 21 or 22,
Yep. And it showed you at a young age, like, doing the rapping. And I remember specifically an image that I don't want you to maybe tell more of a story about, is you were sitting on a bench and you were rapping. And it cut really fast to the next part of the video. But I'm curious, like, do you remember kind of that? Because that had to be a pretty early stage.
Yeah.
And, like,
I was
doing raps.
Yeah, I was 13. And that full video was actually on YouTube.
For real?
Yep. Okay. So I was 13. And one of my friends, he had a camera. Like, so he was like ahead of the game. He had a camera. And he put me on the spot. He said, oh, we got Tamane here. Tamane, kick a freestyle.
Oh.
And so I just started rapping. And, yeah, like, that was... I mean, it was dope, like, to always look back on.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the full thing is on YouTube. The full thing is
Man.
On YouTube.
Here it is. I'm about to check it out. It's still on YouTube? All right, I'm going to make it pop up right here. That's cool. I love that video, first of all, because I thought that was – not only was it cool – because, I mean, again, I'm a big fan of – even though I'm talking to an artist right now that has so many accomplishments, I'm a big fan of realizing it's like, nah, that came from somewhere.
Yeah.
And the struggles and the up and downs and the difference and the good weirdness that it all came from to get you to a place. I love when I can see that, and I'm so happy you did a highlight video of that.
Yeah.
I thought that was so cool. And I want to jump a little bit farther into the UNCG days.
Yeah.
So my mom went to UNCG.
Oh, that's what's up.
Yep.
Spartan?
I like the Spartans. I'm not going to lie. I will say, that arena y'all got there, man, Greensboro Coliseum, that's an underrated arena. Marsha, you ever go to Greensboro Coliseum? Whew.
Yeah, it's dope.
That's a big spot. They host the ACC tournament there. They got, like, big acts that go to this place. Like, I remember I was angry when I was young because Bieber, I was a big fan of Bieber growing up, and he would always go only to Greensboro Coliseum, and he would not go to Raleigh or Charlotte. And I'm like, what the hell is that? Like, come to the other spots.
Yeah.
Like, but that's their arena. That's UNCG's arena. Talk to me about college, and talk to me about Greensboro. Was your music going up there, and where did you find your culture, your love, and just more connections as you were in college?
Yeah, I think that's a very great question, actually. So I guess I'll take a step back.
Okay.
I didn't want to go to college.
Did you really not?
I didn't want to go to college because I always wanted to do music. I believe that it would, like, pop early because I think, like, there's never been a time where I wasn't good at rapping.
Yeah.
And so,
<That's facts.
laughs> like, just to be honest. And so I would walk around school, like in high school, like, man, they don't know who I'm about to be. Like, I'm about to be one of the biggest ever. And so I always had this vision of getting signed at, like, an early age.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, I'm going to be, like, 22, 23, maybe 24. Mm. And so I didn't want to go to school. I just wanted to pour up my all into music. But I was always smart, like, level-headed.
Yeah.
I never put all my eggs in, like, one basket. And so I went to school because it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Really? And so I went to school, and nobody knew I rapped for real, like, until second semester of my freshman year.
Was that chosen, though? Like, did you not show it as much?
I just didn't show it as much.
Okay.
Yeah, and second semester of my freshman year, there was, like, a cypher on, like, the UNCG.
Talking about, like, an XXL-type cypher? Like,
yeah, like, everybody was just rapping.
Oh, snap.
And I went crazy.
I believe it. Man, so, and that was a freestyle straight up. Like,
yeah. So went crazy. Man. Everybody was hype. And then I also took a hip hop class.
Oh, nice.
And then, like, the hip hop class, my professor, Thomas Taylor, he's amazing.
We got a photo of Thomas.
We do have a photo of Thomas.
Ding.
He's amazing. And he put, like, students on the spot. He was like, oh.
Really?
He was like, any
man,
MCs?
That's underrated.
And
man.
I went to the front of the class, went crazy. And so
that's what
started my name to, like, build on campus. And then I started performing a lot more, showcasing my art.
Yeah.
And that's how I really, I'd say, created my first fan base. So any show that I would have on campus, like, a lot of people would come up
that.
And, like, come out to see just me. And I'm only performing one song.
Yeah. Wait, why one? Just one
because
song?
Because it would be like a showcase. Like, it's a talent show. So everybody just does one song. But people are like, hey, Tamane, are you performing?
That's
I'm like,
cool.
Nah. Like, okay, well, I'm not going. And I was like, oh, you are performing.
Dang,
oh, I'm pulling
bro.
Up and I'm coming through.
Now I get why that entourage came. My goodness. Man, that's cool. I saw something else that I thought was really, really good. And I want I want you to take me back on this moment because I thought this had to be special for you. So you went back, and I'm guessing to the same hip hop class after one of your albums got released.
Yeah.
And you showed the album to the class, and you videotaped the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you had people coming up to you that were in the class afterwards just saying how inspiring it was and how special it was. And this is like, this is what music needs to be and all that and above. And here's a little clip of the video. Ding. Explain that, because that, and just how you felt during all that, because I've never seen someone do that.
Yeah.
Like, Marsha, have you ever heard of that? Have you ever heard of someone going back to their own university to have a listening party for an album? That's like... It seems like that's something that should happen more, but I've never heard of that. Like, so tell me about that experience. That sounded amazing.
I mean, it was a phenomenal experience, to say the least. But I think of marketing, right, and branding, and I like to do things that I haven't seen done before.
Yeah.
It's like, how can I do something new?
Yeah.
Right? Be outside of the box a little bit. And so I had that thought of, wow, what if I went back to the hip-hop class, right, that I attended to learn more about hip hop history, and what hip hop culture truly means, and demonstrate my art. And I mean, for me to play it and for the students to be so receiving of it, right? Because music,
they were locked in too.
They were locked in.
Some of these, Marsha, you should have seen these people. These students were locked into this. I was loving what I loved watching this video.
Yeah.
Go on, man.
Like they were so like locked in. They were giving feedback after every song, asking very thoughtful questions around it.
Yeah.
And so one thing that I loved the reception, right? They really paid attention, like closed their eyes and really appreciated the experience.
So good.
But at the end, where there was a young girl and she came up to me and she cried.
Really?
And like, I'm someone who's like purpose-based. Like, I feel like my purpose is to inspire and impact people through words. And I feel like it's my calling to do music, to impact or, right, change a life. And for her to come up to me and cry after and say, hey, this song really touched me. It's like, man, this is confirmation and like affirmation that I'm on the right path and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do with this music. Because I don't care if it's a million people that hear my song. But man, if one person can like want to do better, or it touches them in that way, it's like, man, my job is done. Like, like I'm doing my job, you know? That was dope.
Well, and just to kind of piggyback off that, and like, I'm now, since I knew you were coming on the podcast, I always love, as you probably can tell now, I love doing my research and just finding out just interesting facts, things I can really dive into. And one thing I noticed that I don't even have on the notes, but I just noticed, and I'd love for you to tell me how important this is to you. But like, your Instagram posts are intricate, meaning like what you write on there is very specific, and there's always a message. And there's something, and like, you will post, like, you know, I remember one specific video that had over, like, gosh, it had, and I have it in the notes, it had like 159K views. It was a song, it had like, put you in your place, but still make sure you have space to move. It was a love video.
Just another
I heard that, I was like, Marsha, you hear that lyric? Put you in your place, but still make sure you have space to move. Like, that's why I didn't rap at the beginning. I can't do that. I'm not going to lie. Tell me about just how important it is when it comes to that side of social media and getting your point across through posts like that.
Yeah, I think because when it's like a song lyric, but I think it goes back to the writing. So I don't like to waste a line.
Yeah, like, I can tell.
It's like a line can't be wasted.
Yeah.
Because when I care so much about the craft, and so that's going to be showcased like when I post a video.
Yeah.
So it's like, when you hear these lines and you see me rap these lines, it's intentional. And so even that thing, it's like, I'll put you in your place, but still make sure you got space to move. It's because I feel like as a man, like when we think about like from a relationship standpoint, it's like as a man, right, you provide wisdom, you provide guidance, but you also set like a standard for what masculinity is, not society's definition of masculinity, but it's like, hey, what's your version of it? So you're not like walked on, trampled over. It's like, hey, this right here is what it is and what it's going to be. And so it's like, hey, I'm going to set this standard and write, I'm gonna meet it. Hey, significant other, you have to meet this too. This is what I expect out of you, but I'm not controlling.
Yeah,
like, I'm not. There's a difference between like dominance and dominion. It's like, I'm not controlling you. I'm not controlling you. Like, you still got space to do whatever it is that you want to do.
Yeah.
But hey, I can't tolerate any disrespect or anything like that.
That's right.
So that's kind of what I meant by that line.
Man, and that was a, if I remember correctly. First of all, here's a video. 159,000 views on this one video. Like, and you also have another video that I checked out. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it had like 165K. So you're getting like views on these lyrical, amazing moments that are not songs, but it's some of them may be, but just they're reels that are so fantastic. I just like love that it's also obvious that each one almost has like its own story. So I believe that one was specifically about love, and specifically about just like, you know, a bunch of just different ways to describe that feeling. And I remember I was listening to it specifically, and then that line came up, and I was like, oh, I need to make sure I ask about that, because it really was like fire. So
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay. First of all, how's that coffee?
Oh, coffee is great.
Not bad,
coffee,
right?
Is great.
QCG does well. I'm always like,
10 out of 10. Iced mocha latte with oat milk.
Oat milk. What's the deal with oat milk?
I don't like dairy.
Oh.
Wait, because you know, actually, we are the only mammals that drink another mammal's milk.
I think I knew that.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. That is interesting.
And like 70, 80% of the world is lactose intolerant.
Oh, my gosh.
We shouldn't be drinking.
I bet that's on a spectrum too. I bet maybe in a way like we're not all, but like maybe I bet some in a weird way like a little bit of the person that's in that 20% that isn't may still be like a little
just
bit.
A little bit.
Yeah. All right. So this next thing we're gonna get into is something I love. It's a game that my favorite YouTube channel came up with called Spark.
Okay.
Now it's about talking to strangers. Like if y'all see this little logo. Talk to strangers, Spark, talk to strangers. So the whole goal of this is literally I have questions that are just a little bit more random, but it kind of just dives us into something that makes us learn about each other even a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
And I'll do it too. And here's Yes Theory, by the way. Thank you, Yes Theory. I'm reading your book right now. It's fantastic. So we'll start off with this one, and I'll answer too, because why not? In music, what's the most embarrassing story you're willing to tell in music?
In music.
I got one. Shoot. I read this. I was like, yep.
Wow. I think the most embarrassing story, I think I could have been in 8th or 9th grade.
Okay.
And I was in a rap battle.
Okay.
So my dad isn't even a DJ, but he was like a DJ for this like party for the community with kids around. And
By the way, random question. Do you like Wild 'N Out?
I do.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Just checking. We'll talk about that later.
And I went to this party for the kids, like community, and it's nothing but teenagers there.
Yeah.
And they were like, hey, we want to have a rap battle. And so I'm like, oh, yeah, I rap. But nobody knows me, like, in this city. Like, nobody knows me.
What city was this?
I was in Wilmington.
Okay.
And, like, I'm from, like, near Wilmington.
But you're not. It's like a 500-person town, right?
Yeah. So I'm from, like, a 500-person town. But I was, like, in this community. None of the kids know me.
Yeah.
And they would have a rap battle. So I'm like, okay. Yeah. I know I'm the best rapper. Like, there's nobody better than me. And so they put us on the spot. And I was going first. So we flipped, like, heads or tails. I went first.
Okay.
And I choked. I forgot all my lyrics. I forgot absolutely everything. And, like, so when I forgot, this girl screamed. She said something that was so, like, it was embarrassing. Because she was like, oh, you're not supposed to do that. Like, oh, you
what
forgot
do you mean?
Your words. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. And
she really said.
And then this guy who I was battling murdered it.
Oh, did he?
Killed it. But it was 3 rounds. It was 3 rounds. And I snapped.
Okay, so those other two, you were good. But
the
that first
two,
one.
I was good.
Did you literally, like, in the first one, how does it, like, if you don't mind me asking, do you forget and say, like, all right, your turn?
That's how bad it was. So, like,
I don't
now,
think I've ever seen that.
Yeah, so, like, now I've worked myself up to the point where if I forget, I can freestyle. I can still make it work.
Yeah. But you said you can go.
But this one, it was so bad, and then they started laughing.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, man.
Man.
But I don't get embarrassed easily. I don't get embarrassed easily.
Yeah.
But it was embarrassing because of the reception.
It's always the, you know, it's what you see from the other people's faces. Like, I feel you on that. Mine came at a show that I do emceeing for. It's my first time ever emceeing a show. I was very nervous. Salif, the CEO of Sonus Wave, was at this show. It was the first time I actually met him. And I was very nervous to go up and introduce these acts because there's 3 acts I was supposed to introduce. So I was very scared to even, like, I didn't want to pronounce any of the names wrong, all that and above. The first walk up to the stage, I completely like elbowed a dude's wine out of their hand and broke glass like all in front of me. And I just kept walking. And I think it wouldn't have been that bad if the guy didn't look at me just with total just like, I wouldn't consider it anger, but just total like, bro, what the hell? And I remember I hated that moment. It was, and I, you know, I had to keep going with the MC thing. Like, I had to get up on stage, use my do my thing. But my gosh, it was such a simple moment. And it's not a crazy exciting story, but those embarrassing moments, like, it's so small. I swayed up. Man, I stone cold Steve Austin that, like, bang, and that thing flew, broke the dude's face. Oh, like, oh, he looked at me with dagger anger. I was like, oh, man. And I bought him a new drink, but, man, I hated that. Hated it.
Yeah.
Okay, here's another spark. Can you sing a song off the top of your head right now? Like, I'm talking a song that is popular in music right now. Can you sing? Not rap.
I cannot sing.
You cannot sing?
I cannot sing.
It's okay, I have another question. Is there a song that you love that people that follow you would be surprised that you love?
Wow, that's a good one. Oh, man, that's a really good one.
I'm trying to think of one, too.
Let me think.
Oh, I can tell you one that a lot of people don't realize I love. Marsh, you'll get a kick out of this. My favorite song for about, I wouldn't say for a year time, but I'd say like a 3 month time. I don't know if y'all know this. I'm going to sing it a little bit, but it goes like, let me tell you about a place somewhere in New York way where the people are so gay, twisting the night away. Y'all know that song? Sam Cooke? Old school. I'm talking like near James Brown era. Like Sam Cooke, like, you know, Louisiana, just like, you know, funk. And I love that song. Oh my gosh. Someone performed it on The Voice and I lost it.
Yeah.
And I found it on YouTube and I was like, oh, this is okay. And it's a song that, like, it's literally one of the only songs in that category that I listen to, but I don't care. I'm always down to hear more of that type of category, but and genre, but that song I have had on my playlist for about 10 years.
Yeah.
And I still listen to it today. I still sing it. Yep. So I say Twisting the Night Away, Sam Cooke. Here's the album cover. Whew, fire.
Actually, I got one.
All right, what we got?
So growing up, like, my mom listened to a lot of Mary J. Blige, a lot of Alicia Keys.
Whew, fire. So,
like, that was always, like, that's the type of R&B I gravitate to.
Yeah.
But one particular song, Sunshine Anderson, Heard It All Before.
Oh.
That's, like, my go-to. It's like a Heard It All Before.
Okay.
I was your fool. I believed in you. And yes, I did. Yes, I. Like, that's my joint.
I like it. Just to throw in another weird one, I don't know if y'all have heard, like, the Little Einsteins remix. Have you heard that thing where it has a beat drop? You've seen that, Marsha? The little, that I listen to that on the regular sometimes. I'm going to be honest with you. I'll be just if we're going on a. I'm sorry.
I remember that was like a TikTok. Was it on TikTok or was that Vine?
Man, I think it was Vine.
It was Vine, yeah.
Man, that was hard.
That was a good one.
If anybody likes that, man, comment in the section. It's fire. Hey, guys, thank you so much for watching the podcast. And thank you to our sponsor, Queen City Grounds, for providing the location. You can find a perfect blend of coffee, cuisine, and entertainment while you are here. It is in-house made coffee. There is brunch and dinner options. There is a full bar and amazing live events. So come check it out and stay grounded. Thank you to Sonorous Wave for powering this podcast. Sonorous Wave is an amazing music collective based here in Charlotte. Their slogan is artistry versus the algorithm, and they are so good at putting all events into a music setting, and they kill it. They are amazing with every event they are in association with, so check them out. All right, we back. We are going to talk about what is out now and just like the recent stuff that you have, but also just recent stories you can tell. Yeah. And I want to start with my hometown, something that you did in my hometown.
Okay.
Let's talk Dreamville.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about that experience. So I'm from Raleigh.
Yeah.
So when I found out Dreamville was coming, I was like, was this the first Dreamville? Second? We're coming up on the fifth. What are we coming up on? The fourth or fifth one?
Yeah,
fourth?
We're coming on the fourth, yeah.
And what he's doing what? Like in total five? Like I think there's one more round and that's it?
I think this year is the last one.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Only four? Man, five's a good number. Anyway. Tell me about that experience, because I saw some of the videos. There's so much stories, Instagram stories, and on that day.
Yeah.
And of course you killed it. You had a very fantastic rhythm with it. And just tell me about all the experience.
Man, the experience was lovely.
How'd you get the call to do that, by the way?
Right place, right time.
Really?
Honestly.
Okay.
So I'm someone, I hate going to the club. Mm-hmm. I hate going out.
Marsh, you like the club?
Like,
not me either.
It's not really my scene, right?
Me either.
But my cousin does these parties.
Okay.
And so I said, I'm going to show up for him. Mm. Like, I'm going to show love because my cousin he's always doing these parties. Like, I want to show love to him. And so I went out and he's good friends with a woman that works at Dreamville.
Okay.
And I met her. And it wasn't like I introduced myself or anything.
Yeah.
He was just casually was like, hey, this is my cousin. He's better than all the rappers you have with Dreamville. You know, an introduction, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, send me some music.
Okay.
And so I didn't even get a chance to send her any music. But like through the night, it was just great. Everybody's vibing.
Yeah.
And also, I wasn't drinking at the time. So I'm very much sober.
Very sober.
And like very sober. And she came up to me and we talked a little bit about music. And she said, hey, well, we're having a block party, like Lutz throwing one, Gold Mouth Garage. You want to perform at it? And I'm like, of course.
Yeah.
So it was really just right place, right time, because she didn't know me from a can of paint.
Yeah.
She just knew me off the strength of my cousin and that he vouched for me saying I was a great artist. And so they threw me on the lineup and I was the last performer at the event. So it was dope.
That's like luck and consistency that just meets each other, you know? Mm-hmm. Like or like luck and preparation. I know
Where opportunity meets preparation.
Yes,
that's what it is.
Man, that's awesome. And tell me kind of how that day went. Like when it came to your performing, obviously when you're on a stage with a mic, like it's over, you know what you're doing. But like, tell me about you know, anything that kind of stuck out when it came to being a part of Dreamville.
Man, one, I was sick.
Were you?
So I was coughing.
Oh, no.
I was coughing for like 3 days straight.
It didn't sound like it.
And I was worried. I was scared. I'm like, man, I'm going to be coughing on stage and I'm just going to mess up my performance. And that was in my mind. So like the day of, I had like cough drops. I think on like the bag, it says like don't take more than like a certain amount. But I was taking so many cough drops because I'm like, oh, I'm scared of coughing. But as soon as I touched the mic, it just all went away.
Over.
It all went away. And man, it was so cool because it was the first time where I felt like I could control the stage.
Yeah.
So there was a song that I wrote specifically for Dreamville called Vibin' Out to Cole.
How long, by the way, did you know? When did you know you were doing that? And how long did you have time to prepare?
I think I had like a month and a half to prepare.
Okay, so you had time to write a song and all that. But okay.
And so I wrote a song called Vibin' Out to Cole.
Yeah.
It's on my album. Go check that out.
All right. Which one?
What if it all works out?
Ah, okay.
And I was like, everybody put your hands up, and the entire crowd is like this. I'm like, wow.
Uh-huh.
This is what it feels like,
yeah.
Right? To have like 100 people, right, doing what you tell them to do because they appreciate your art.
Yeah.
And like and you're giving them energy, so they give you good energy back. And it was just, I mean, it's like, bro, you're him.
That's cool,
it's like,
man.
You can do this.
That's cool.
That was like my highlight.
That's
sure.
Lovely, man. I'm so happy you got to experience that. Cause again, I think like I just had friends that got accepted onto Love and Life.
Ooh.
Did you know this, Marsha? Weird story. The person that I bought a guitar, I just bought an acoustic guitar.
Mm-hmm.
They are performing. His band is performing Love and Life. I was like, oh shit. Like by the way. For the people that watch, I've had friends tell me that this Love and Life lineup is not good. Bro. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I got friends that are performing. So I just, being able to perform a festival in any sort of way, I think is like so, it's nice. And knowing you can kind of associate yourself to the artist like J. Cole or
mm-hmm.
Big Sean or whoever is performing that day. And I think that's, by the way, random question. Were you able to see your name on the big, like,
Not on the big one.
On like the one where it shows all the artists. Like, oh, dang.
So
okay.
There was one specifically for the Lutz Gold Mouth Garage.
Gotcha.
So that's where like my name was on that.
That's still bad. That's badass. Let's talk about your music. Let's start with Fashionably Late.
Yeah.
So I listened to a few of the songs in the past couple days, but one moment I got to bring up is something I saw on your Instagram, and I just have to ask a question. Here is the video. Were you legitimately fashionably late to your listening party? Because you walked up those stairs, and you know everybody was already there. Yeah. So were you fashionably late?
It was intentional.
Yeah,
it was intentional.
I love it. I love it. So talk to me about that album and just the experience of writing it. Like,
yeah. So fashionably late, the idea came to fruition because I actually watched this Russ interview.
Okay.
And he was talking
Russ
about
the rapper. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Russ is dope. Like Russ is dope. And he was talking about how you need to put out music, right? You have to put out your music. Because you never know who's waiting on that. And if you wait to put it out and you're holding on to it, when you finally do, you're late to your own party. Because you never know who's going to celebrate it, what lives are going to be impacted and changed, and you're late to all of that because you decided to hold on to it. And I'm like, man. And up until that point, I didn't put out a project in 4 years.
Wow.
Or 3 years? Because I put out Fast and Late 2023. Yeah, it was 3 years. Put out no music.
Really?
And so I decided to call it Fashionably Late. It's like, ah, man, let me give a collection of songs.
I love that.
And those songs were created in like a 5 month time span.
Wow.
Maybe four. Because I had a project that was done.
Yeah.
But I'm like, Fashionably Late popped into my head. So I was like, okay, let me create new songs and just put it out with no thought.
That's awesome, man. I wanted to... I'm a big fan of how cover arts work.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask about the cover art of Fashionably Late. I thought that was cool. I thought it was different. I want you to give an explanation of why there's just like balloons, there's just a couch. Like, talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I actually just found a photo.
Oh, really?
it was dope.
Wow.
And I really loved it is because it was a party that already happened.
Oh.
So there's balloons. There was like a beer bottle. Like there's, and it just looked like, oh man, it was a great time. And nobody's there anymore. Oh. And so it's like, ah, man, you were late to the party. And so that's okay. Why I loved it so much. It's like, ah, man, I showed up.
Yeah.
Man. It's like, oh, man.
I like that. These are the intricate. I love that. That's such an interesting way to highlight that. And you have to, like, ask the artist why to find that out. That's very, it completes the story of why that's the cover art.
And
it's fantastic.
Yeah, and, like, I think artists, because, like, myself, every song, every... cover art, it's like everything's super intentional.
Yes.
On like
how
I constructed the song, the word I chose to use, like it's all purposeful and it has meaning. So it's like have to ask these questions so you understand like what it's about.
I
so
agree.
Thank you
That's
for
what
asking.
Tuckered Out's for. That's right. Let's get into, before we get into what if it all works out, I want to ask about something I mentioned earlier. Here's something I saw and I'm just curious if you have a story about it. Your BET experience.
Ah, yeah.
I saw the photo. Where were you at? Like,
yeah, I was
here's the photo.
I was at the Paramount office in Times Square.
Okay.
In New York, yeah.
So explain how that all went, because that's a big deal. You being in literally BET.
Yeah.
Like, Black Excellence. Like, tell me how that went, what you did, anything you pulled from that experience.
Yeah, man, it was, super cool because I'm an independent artist, right? And BET, they have, like, these sit-down sessions with artists who are, like, more known in the industry. Not saying I'm not known, right? But I got the chance to talk to them, like, because when I had a good friend who worked at BET, and she, like, put me in contact with their music team, their music programming team. They're like, hey, like, we're willing to, like, sit down and listen to some music. And they were blown away. Like,
okay.
So I got to...
You just showed them, or did you perform anything?
I sat down with them, introduced, like, I played 3 songs from What If It All Works Out.
Okay.
And I was like, hey, this is what my album is about.
Yeah.
Here's what I do with music. Here's my goal with the music. Here are the songs.
Yeah.
And they loved all the songs. And I'm going to have some things coming with BET soon. So soon. But, like, that moment itself is, like, further confirmation. It's like, oh, man, you're in the right path. And they're on, like, the music programming editorial for, like, BET Jams, the BET playlist on, like, Apple Music and Spotify.
Yeah.
Making sure videos, like, get certain placements on BET. And, like, I was in the room with the people who make those decisions. And
right, that's a big deal.
they loved it.
That's awesome,
so
dude.
It felt good.
I'm happy for you, brother. That's cool. Let's get into... Well, okay. I want to ask, again, before we get into this album, K97, 5-time freestyle champ.
Yeah, back in the day.
Talk to me about that. Like, so what is the scene? What are you doing? Are you going on radio and actually having, like, a rap battle against someone? Mm-hmm. And is it kind of like March Madness? Are you having like, do you levels until you get to the top or?
Nah, it's just you keep winning until you lose.
Yep.
And it's not.
Is it like Let It Shine type battles, like back and forth? You know what I'm talking about? Let It Shine.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with.
You don't know Let It Shine,
nah,
Marsha? You know Let It Shine?
I didn't watch it.
Thank you. Here's Let It Shine for the people. Haven't seen Let It Shine?
No, but it's kind of like 8 Mile.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. It's like you just keep going and keep going and keep going. But I think I won 5 times straight.
Damn.
And I lost. Because it's not like the radio DJ picks the winner. People that are listening to the radio have to call in
to tell
and be like, "Hey, I vote for this person. I vote for this person. I vote for this person."
That, how long ago was that?
This was like 2018.
Okay, but that's still like there isn't a button you could press. Yeah. I feel like that's a lot.
Yeah, it was 2018.
Wow.
And so, granted, I was the better rapper.
Yes.
But. It's like, how many people were tuned in on the radio at that time?
Yeah.
Because, he could have told everybody that, hey, bro, I'm performing on this. All my supporters, like, hit the line. So that's kind of, like, how it worked.
Yeah.
And so I ended up losing. On the sixth time.
Okay.
But, the other artist was great. He was dope. Not taking anything from him. But, like, when it comes to art and rapping, I know I'm one of the best at what I do. So.
Well, and I want to talk about that because I want. Let's talk about what if it all works out. And here's an album cover ding. But I want to talk about what I liked about the album and just a song that I thought was just it was the first song. So I you know, as you do on Apple Music, you literally press shuffle, you hear the song, right? Or you hear the songs and whatever. I'm a big just press shuffle. All right, let's just go through.
Oh man, that's
them,
so disrespectful.
I know. Okay, so I'm a big fan. I don't take in. Here's my problem. Y'all about to roast me, Marsha. Don't roast me about this. I'm a fan of songs. I am a fan of albums, but I'm not always a fan of, like, I take in songs, like, one at a time. I don't take in projects. Mm-hmm. I know that's not normal, but the way that I, like, I know there's judgment there. I just, like, so I pressed shuffle because, again, I was wrong, which happens, but Why came up, the song Why. And I just want to read off a lyric that I thought was fire off of that. So, why I love so hard and why it never returned. Why the scars get healed but still feeling the burns. Why I know what's right but still missing the turns. Mm. So, fire, by the way. Here's a little tidbit of Why. I loved that song and I'm very curious, like, why that was the approach of that song specifically.
Yeah.
Just because... I'm a big fan of, you know, when I resonate with something, I want to find out more. And that personally just got me. And also, just to kind of get a little bit deeper, at one point you even talked about, like, suicide in the song. I have had situations, to get a little bit deep, like, with suicide, not only in my family, but just, like, with friends and all that and above. So I just would love for you to talk about just kind of how that song came together and just, you know... message you have from the song or stories you have.
So the song came from like a real place. Like I'm a life artist.
Yeah.
And so I experience life so I can write about like those experiences. And it was a period of time where I was depressed, right? And I wrote 2 songs. So one is called Introspection, and that's actually on my project from 2020 called Thanks in Advance. And I also wrote Why. And so same time period and like in a depressed type of state.
Yeah.
And it's because like I wasn't where I wanted to be in life. And I felt like the things that I were doing were unimportant. And it's like, I feel this way. Things are happening that I'm not happy about or I'm not content with. And I feel like everything that I'm doing is for nothing. It's like, I'm going to write a song like Why? Why me? Why is this happening? And so once I came up with the idea, I thought of everything like my entire life. It's like, oh, man, why did this happen? Why did this happen? And it's like those feelings were just raw.
Yeah.
Authentic. Like I was living at my uncle's crib, like sleeping on his couch at the time. You know? So it's like, why I'm still living on my uncle's couch? And like the thoughts of like suicide never like hit me.
Yeah.
But I was depressed. And suicide, right, is prevalent. Mental health is important.
Yeah.
And right, suicide has happened like in my family too, and like with friends that I have. And so it was more so like artistic exaggeration.
Yeah.
Because it's like not from a standpoint of like, I'm sitting at a crib with an actual like gun to my head, but it's, man, I'm ready to just stop everything because nothing I do is it doesn't feel worth it.
Yeah.
So let me just not do anything at all. So it's like, kill my dreams, kill the love I have, kill like all of these symbolism. Different things. Wow. And so I wanted to like exaggerate it.
That's
like
a great way to show
because
symbolism.
At the end of that verse, I said, why does it feel like God doesn't love me? So it's like, okay, I'm going to kill everything. I'm going to cut ties with absolutely everything.
Mm. Wow.
But yeah.
So first of all, thank you for that explanation. That's fantastic. And that song is really like a bop. Like it was, mm-hmm. as I said, like it was the first song I heard and I immediately was like, oh, I have to make sure I find out about this one.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the project itself. So mm-hmm. it released in 2024. And Marsha, you were at the listening party, weren't you?
Yeah.
She was at the listening party. That's right. Tell me how this album kind of came about. Why is it called What If It All Works Out?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was the inspiration behind it? And, yeah, what place are you in right now? And yeah. why was this time to release it?
So the album itself, I feel like I've been working on it for, like, 5 years.
Yeah.
Or I was working on it for 5 years. And not, like, all the songs themselves, but the idea.
Yeah.
So I wanted to tell this story of life after college because I felt like it hasn't been done. Like there hasn't been an artist. He'd be like, yeah, I went to school. I graduated. Let me tell you about what life is as an adult.
Yeah.
But I felt limited and it was hard because I'm like constantly living life and I'm trying to tell all about these new experiences. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, let me broaden this a little bit and talk about my entire life. So it's a lot easier. And so once like I started that piece, I started just making these songs and I'm like, how can I put this in a cohesive order from like start to finish? And I had different names that popped up, but then I was like, what if it all works out? I'm big on names. Like, so I have an album called Don't Trip, There's More For You.
Yeah.
Because, and it's like a motivational type of thing.
Yeah.
Then there's Thanks in Advance, there's Fashion Be Late. But then I'm like, how can I get another saying like Don't Trip, There's More For You? So bro, what if it all works out? And it's a story about my life as a musician, like as a human being, yes, but as a musician and who goes through life, ups, downs, hurdles, self-doubt, until I get to a point where it's like, bro, let me let go of it. Let me let God handle it.
Yeah.
And I know who I am and whose I am. So that's how I came into fruition. But the therapist part, because also on the project, there's a therapist who I sit down with. Because the album is a therapy session centered around faith, where we unpack things like a therapist asks you questions.
Yeah.
Unpacking self-doubt, depression, childhood trauma, relationship struggles and issues, etc. And how we got there.
Yeah.
So I played the project for one of my good friends, Jelani. Shout out to Jelani. Like, also, it's very important to have good friends around you whose opinion you trust.
Facts. Right? Salim's one of those for me. Good
like,
Lord.
Who trust? Because like, you could send somebody something and they were like, bro, I don't like this.
Man, have you? Okay, I have a question. Have you ever like sent like a lyrical thing to someone that isn't into music? Like, is it in music or likes music but doesn't think musically, and
yes.
they don't give you that energy of how great it is? Woo, that's painful.
It's painful,
man.
So you got to be protective.
Trust me.
So
I feel you.
It's important to have the right person.
Uh-huh.
Right? So I sent it to him. He was like, bro, this is great, but it's missing something.
Okay.
And I'm like, bro, missing something? He's like, yeah, it's not good enough, but you need people whose opinion you trust, right? Because as an artist, like, we are sensitive about our work. We put our all into it, our passion. And he told me it wasn't good enough, but it's like, okay, tell me, why isn't it good enough?
Yeah.
What's missing from this? He was like, bro, what if you had a therapist and you had skits throughout it? And that was my light bulb moment, and I wrote an entire script for a therapist in between each song. And I think that's what made the album.
Was that a woman that was speaking? Was it her?
Yeah. A good friend named Jane.
Okay.
And I'm like, bro, I wrote a whole script, thought of the person immediately.
That's perfect.
Called her. I was like, yo, I'm booking a studio session in 2 days.
Yeah.
Can you make it? I'm going to write a script for you.
Wow.
So that's how
badass.
It came about.
I love that. My goodness. Man. And like, how has it been received so far? Like, what have you noticed? Man. How has it impacted people? What have people told you about this album?
The reception has been amazing.
Yeah.
Like, because, I mean, I think as musicians and, like, artists and creatives, metrics are important, but it's not the only thing.
Yeah.
It's like, how do people feel?
Yeah.
And the responses have been top tier.
Yeah.
With people feeling heard, feeling seen, feeling understood. Like, even someone told me, hey, bro, I give your album a 9 out of 10, right? I got a lot of people that said 10 out of 10s, but I don't care about those. He gave it a 9 out of 10.
Interesting.
And I'll say, okay, why? And he said, I think it was missing this. But that's not me taking away from the album. It's amazing. And he told me that he believes it was the best body of work he heard all of 2024 outside of Kendrick Lamar, GNX.
Wow.
So I'm like, man, I take that 9 out of 10.
I'll take that.
I'll take that 9 out of 10. Okay. And I'm going to make sure my next project is a 10 out of 10 just because, like, of you. And this is, like, one of my homies. And I'm like, because I value that. You gave me a reason why you thought it was a 9 out of 10 and why it wasn't a 10.
Yep.
And now I'm going to use that reason to make sure I'm not going to miss on anything else I drop. So.
I love that, man. And the album is out now.
Yep.
Like, we can stream it. I've luckily streamed it already. I had such a... It was just... I was working while I was streaming it, too. Mm. This was a couple days ago. And it really does, like, tell a story. And I promise...
You listen to it in order?
No. So I will this next time. Because, again, sometimes my... I'm such a big fan of just, like, going into songs, of each how one song does, but I need to be better at listening to them in order. Because, man, my ADHD will, it's like, let me check out this song, then that one. Like, this last little part of the interview that I love to do, I call it a honey roast.
Mm-hmm.
It simply is stuff that I've noticed about the artists that I interview that I want to make sure that I highlight from my experience. Because I think one thing that y'all are, that the artists I interview and just every artist that I will come in contact with, is that everybody impacts me differently, and they should always know that. And I'm not talking differently like in bad ways. It's literally like just different ways of thinking. So this is what I kind of got when I first met you and just why I wanted you on the pod. But so obviously I met you at Queen City Grounds. I met you here right down
which
there.
Which is crazy.
It is crazy. And I immediately saw just how good you were. It's very easy to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that you may not realize is how many, and Marsha can back me up on this, how many people want, like, quickly were like, you need to look into getting to Maine on the podcast. And I went, okay, like, because I'm a big fan of, like, I'll hear a you need to type, sentence. And I won't immediately think, like, okay, bet. Like, I'm a research person. It's like, all right, is this person, does he have the craft? She or he have the craft that, you know, do they have the right nature? Do they have the right feeling? Is it someone that I know has a pull right now? Because, again, I want to make sure that I'm reaching an audience, their audience and my audience with these people, with who I interview.
Absolutely.
And it didn't surprise me, but also kind of surprised me how many people requested that you be on the pod and how people just told me, it's like, you need to look into Tamane.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did, it made me realize really quickly how I was like, okay, I need to actually make sure I start, if I can, hitting him up and seeing if there's a possibility for this.
Yeah.
And I just want to say that is something that I have not gotten as much as I have with you when it comes to people supporting you, where I didn't even have to say anything. Marsha can attest to this. Marsha was one of the ones that was like, you need to look into this dude, like, get him on the pod.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, like, I trust your opinion. And then more people kept adding on to that.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. Like, you didn't have to do any, like, I didn't have to get convinced by the actual artist. It was the people that follow you that were like, no, you need to talk to him. You need to find out information. So there was that aspect. One thing that I noticed just straight up from your music is that it's, and again, I'm a big fan of this. If I can listen to music and fully get lost in it and not care about almost anything else, but be locked into what someone is saying through lyrics, I'm in heaven.
Hmm.
I love that.
Yeah.
So there's one video that you released where I believe it was very recent, where you were walking through an apartment and maybe was yours, but you were rapping something and I forget it specifically what, but all I could do was listen to you rap through the apartment.
Yeah.
And someone took the video of it and you were just walking, rapping, opening up a fridge, rapping.
Yeah.
And I thought it was very simple, but it was waves. I was like, damn. And like, you know, in my opinion, you have to make sure pronunciation in music is big.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have one of the best rapping pronunciations that I've heard since
Thank you.
Tuckered Out. And just, it's obvious that, like, I understand why you have a following. I understand why you're good live. Like, when I hear the certain pronunciations and I hear just the intensity behind the words and where the punctuation comes in. So all that and above were reasons where I was like, okay, this person, okay, I need to look in the interview. I want to hear his story.
Yeah.
And all that kind of made me realize how important it was to make sure that I talk to you. And I look up to all that because it's not easy to do what you do. Music is not easy in general.
Not at all.
But when it comes to, as you said, breaking down your life story, especially in rap, like, let's be honest here, rap, like pop music, I love pop music. I love writing pop music. But the, like, literally the amount of words compared to pop music is so much bigger and longer and more specific. Nothing to pop music. Pop music's amazing. I love my pop music. I make it myself.
Yeah.
But let's be honest here. The lyrics of rap, the right rap.
So many more.
There's so much more. Literally, number-wise, there's so much more. Yeah. And it's a lot more deeper, and it's a lot more specific. Pop, kind of, in my opinion, is more of the question genre. Like, it's like, damn, I wonder, how did that make me feel that they hit that high note at that point? Which is hard to figure out. But rap just lyrically goes into a whole different specificity in music. And you created that for me. So I just want to say thank you.
Thank you, man.
For that. Is there anything? This pod will be coming out. Good Lord, Marsha. I don't even know. I think it's in March at some point. Is there anything coming up that maybe we should look at, that the audience should look at, that I can make sure they know about?
Yeah. So something that I've been thinking a lot about is, like, my brand.
Okay.
And I watched this LaRussell interview. Like, I'm a big fan of LaRussell, also, like, independent artists who are like really making waves, like, in the music industry. And he was talking about, like, branding and how, like, as individuals, we are trees, and everything that we do is an extension of that tree, like a branch, right? So, right, your Tucker, your podcast is a branch. The music you write is a branch. Let's say you have a dog, and your dog lover, that's a branch, right? But these are things that people can like about the tree itself. And so I'm like, ah, what are some different extensions that I can start to demonstrate more often? So one, we got the music piece that's connected to Tymaine. And my album is about mental health and, like, therapy, et cetera. And so I want to start something where I'm having conversations about things that, like, men, but also, like, every individual goes through, and how, like, simple conversations can help us overcome that, right? Yeah. So be on the lookout for... I don't got a name for it yet.
We're getting there.
But,
the name will be fire, though.
The name will be dope.
That'll be great.
but something that where we're, like, having, like, I'll be having, like, quick 20-second, 30-second, like, combos.
Yeah. Oh.
Just about what men and what people, right, go through, and how we can overcome those hurdles. Because, yo, what if it all works out?
That's true.
All right.
That's a great add-on. Thank you so much for coming on Tuckered Out. Y'all, Tymaine Robbins, check out his stuff. Follow him on the socials. Also, follow us, of course. We got more reels, more people that are coming on. We love y'all. Stay grounded. Have a good rest of the day.
Appreciate you.